The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw On Your Questions, episode 359. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
How you doing?
And Brett Murdoch.
What up?
Brett is not an Eternal.
I am not an Eternal. Thank God. I'd have to fucking cancel myself.
He is the Eternal.
He is the Eternal. Yeah, no, then he'd just be fucking boring, you know? All right, man. No Chris action, and you know, because he needs to heal. And Brian will probably be here in an hour because a day like 77. It happens every year. Every year.
Those crafty farmers, man. You they know? Got him again.
Wait a minute. Does that mean our show is going to be lasting a little longer?
No. We already went past that. That was if we filmed on Saturday, then potentially, yes, but this is Sunday. We're past that hump, you know? You already know. All right, man, so let's not waste any time here. Let's get into it, man. Mob Hits starts us off here. What would you grade the PlayStation 5's report card a year after its release? And then the other secondary question is, what can we expect, good or bad, from the coming year? So what are we going to give PlayStation 5 as a grade? Because it's been out for almost a year now.
Just a passing.
You got to give it a letter here.
A 60 or a 65.
So a C then for you.
A 65, yeah.
All right, 65, yeah.
I can give them both Cs. C minus for PlayStation, does not play well with others.
Oh.
C plus for Xbox, showing improvement.
Hmm.
could you just say just needs improvement?
Needs improvement. No, showing improvement, because otherwise you don't really have a whole lot of good things to say.
Or yeah, it just says, see your mother.
Oh.
Please have her call me. What?
Go ahead, Carlos.
I think I agree with the panel. It's like a 60. You're not technically failed, but you're really not technically passing yet.
No.
They still have to showcase their console. I mean, Ratchet & Clank is the closest thing for me that showcases a console and what it can do. They're still not that, you know, huge mega hit game that, you know, showcases a system. And, you know, we still don't know if Horizon's going to be that game. We don't know if God of War is going to be that game. It still has to come to fruition. And also, I've had a lot of issues with the UI. I think the UI in the PlayStation 5 is really clunky. Obviously, that's going to change in a couple of updates.
Don't say that shit on Twitter.
Will it?
Oh, really?
They've had better ones. The PS4 one was solid.
The PS4 one was perfect, and they fucked it up with the PS5.
Yeah, there's no reason to screw with that.
But again, they've done this before. Remember PS3? By the end of it, UI was perfect, then they fucked it up with PS4. They finally got it right.
It was backwards.
Yeah. Like, why are you doing this?
Go ahead. I got on my PS4 the other day. I went to turn it off. Oh, I miss it. It was so easy.
Yeah, it was easy.
It was just the place that you think that it's going to be, easily navigated. I was like, oh, wow, it's a pleasure turning this thing off.
Yeah. I'm pretty much with the panel here. I'll give it a C. Although, like, in terms of, like, New York grade, 65 is the bare minimum. Past 60, you failed.
Yeah,
65. It's 60 is a failure. So I'm going to give it a 65, you know, where you're like,
depends on the borough. I recall getting a 60. And I still qualified.
What borough are you talking about, man? Staten Island, man?
Not call that a Manhattan B.
Yeah.
Queens, man?
Yeah.
That ain't just passing.
Uh-oh. Hey, Barry Byrne, do something about that span. Thank you, sir. All right.
Did I give PlayStation the highest score? What the fuck just happened?
Wait, would you give it, Brett?
I gave it a low C.
We all gave it a C.
60 is a D, bro.
Yeah, 60 to 60 to 70, like 69 is a nice. It's a D.
Oh, really? 60. Okay. So I guess I give it the D. As you know, that's kind of unfair. I'm gonna, you know, because I thought C was like the middle one.
C's average.
she's like a 70.
Yeah,
it's
I'm going to give it let's give it the average. Because I like, because it's a C, you know? It's like.
You just actually talked me off that ledge. I was like, wait a second. The PlayStation 5 has not been doing, hasn't been putting forward an average show. This is clearly below average for anything that they've, like, would you say that this is their best launch?
I hate to say this, but yes, compared to their other shitty launches, it actually is.
Really?
Yeah, okay. And Brett, I'm not praising this launch. I'm just saying compared to their other ones, it is actually objectively better, even if I'm not enthused by it myself, you know?
I kind of feel the opposite. Like, I'm mildly enthused by some of the stuff. It's just, man, like, it's just, it feels like all of the Kevin Butler has been taken out of Sony. It's just all of the fun has, like, gone, and now we're just left with cold, sterile products. I don't know, man. Like, there's more to do than just grading the system as hardware, right?
Well, no, we're doing the whole thing, hardware and games. I know,
and that's why I'm taking points away from Sony here, because, like, I just feel like, I don't even know how to put it, but all of the fun and the excitement, all the things that, like, you know, Kevin Butler personified, even though he was fake, like, that whole kind of playfulness has just gone from the company. And it's you can kind of tell it in their releases, too, a little bit. I mean, I'm the only one, I don't really know how to put this, but it just feels like Sony hasn't been real trying to be real hard, or real fun this last year.
No, I mean, it's all the Jim Ryan thing, bro. You know, that guy.
That's what it is.
He's the, is our boy, Jim Ryan. You know, he's a cold businessman. That's it.
Yo, fuck Jim Ryan.
You know?
I think in general, all of that type of advertisement, I think that's a thing in the past. I think that's the whole Kevin Butler is like a spinoff of like 90s TV commercials.
Yeah, a little bit.
So I think that kind of way to advertise stuff is kind of going by the wayside. And Jim Ryan definitely does not help the perception of, you know, the antithesis of what we used to see, because he's just a cold business like person with a British accent. So I don't know, Brett. I think that's the least worrisome for me. I think the most worrisome, well, number one is the games. Number two is the interface, and I guess number three, since it's not as big of a deal as it was in the past, but the performance of the system. I mean, Brett is like one of the few people that I know. I think he's the only one I know. That has his PS5 crash on him like consistently. So,
let's not forget about our boy John Christ, man. He had to send like 3 PlayStation 5s back because they keep fucking up on him, you know?
And John Christ and Brett.
Yeah, there you go.
But you know that does exist, and that should be taken. That should be counted in the tally. I will give them credit also for partly for the compatibility stuff. You know, with the, you know, some of the games performing significantly better, even though that's expected. It does it in an okay fashion. Some of the data file transfers for the safe is kind of fucked up. So you know. That's why I give it a 60. It's really mixed.
Yeah. All right. I mean, generally, I think we're all agreed. It's like, could have been better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Could have been better. All right.
Could have been something.
Could have been something.
Taking into account all the pandemic and shit. I just want to say, like, I would give it a higher score if they did a better job in the pandemic. Yeah. So this is like, everything's been really hard. You know, Sony's just been doing the best they can. Like, no. We're taking that into account. I'm grading after taking account the pandemic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, but obviously, you know, somebody will call us out on this. We do have to recognize.
You can't blame the poor UI on a pandemic. They knew that shit.
That would have been bad regardless. But I'm just going to say, like, you know, because people are going to, you know, say some. Yes, despite our feelings, yes, we recognize that PlayStation 5 is the fastest selling PlayStation at this time of year. We understand that it's doing great sales wise. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about our personal take on it. You know,
but that doesn't necessarily
brand.
Like, no, because somebody's going to bring it up. Oh, you guys are crazy. Look how much it's selling. You know, that's going to happen.
Sales are important for sales, right? But that's they're not important when you're judging the quality of something. It's like, who's the better person? Clearly the more popular one. Like, what? Doesn't fucking make any goddamn sense.
Yeah, no, but, you know, again, somebody will call us out on it, so you just have to make that stipulation. You know,
the thing about it is, it's like, you know, yeah, it is selling well, but at the same time, it's like, what was the cost? I mean, you know, just putting out mediocreness. So essentially, that means that every single person out there is just okay with just things being mediocre.
I mean, in general, that's a problem with a lot of media now that you and I have discussed many times, where people are look at all these people praising Eternals, for example. Like, all right,
it's like they haven't seen a movie that was any better. So you can just generally just dumbify everything, and people will still eat that shit up.
Yeah, like I just a horrifying thought here. Think of your favorite movie. Now think about the fact that a Transformers movie probably made more box office than that.
Oh, of course, you already know, mm-hmm. man.
So yeah, clearly Transformers is better than your favorite movie.
Yeah, according to these people's logic, but that always comes up. But Sony's selling better, you know, always comes up.
Yeah, Gucci sells well too. Anybody here like Gucci?
Oh man, I thought you said some other word.
Nah, don't go there, Tony. I know you. What you're
I'm not gonna say it though. We ain't on that version of Throwdown no more.
That also sells well.
Yeah, it does, man. Oldest industry, you know.
I would actually take into account sales just because, you know, that's the health of the system. If it's not selling, then the thing's going to die, and the report card has to have an F.
Yeah, that is true.
But that's in the lower tier of things to take into account in a personal sense, because that doesn't really affect me as much. The only way it affects me if it's selling bad and they stop supporting the system. But yeah, I would take into account number one is games. Obviously, if God of War came out and it fucking blew everyone's minds and it represented the system really well and it does everything and with the DualSense and everything on my TV, I probably would have given it a B or an A or something. But to this point, Ratchet and Clank is the only true next-gen game, a true PS5 game that has really kind of blown me away. And it's only kind of.
Yeah, right. Again, you know me, I'm a Ratchet and Clank fan, but being objective, yes, just kind of blew you away. Because there's other games like Demon's Souls, but that's a remaster. Let's just be real here, you know?
Yeah.
The original game is still underneath the shininess.
Returnal is,
you know, and you know me, I love me some Astro's Playroom, but that was just like a kind of one and done type of deal. We're not saying
Bugsnax.
Yeah, but I don't think that's exclusive though. Is that exclusive? I'm not sure.
No, and it's a PS4 game as well.
Yeah. So by the way, that's another problem. A lot of these games are also on PS4. You know, which diminishes from the PS5. It's like, okay, cool, you got a PS5, but you can play the same games on PS4 for the most part. Obviously, you can't play Return on no PS4. You know, but you know, the biggest selling game right now. What is it? Miles Morales. Play that on PS4. You know.
It feels like Sony, because they didn't have the ability to produce the number systems of the numbers that they wanted, they tried to, you know, make it so people weren't quite as ear-bleedingly excited about the PlayStation. The problem is they kind of succeeded, and those of us that have the PlayStation are not as excited as we should be.
Yeah.
I feel like they've been – I'm not sure if – and maybe I'm just giving them too much credit here. But I feel like they've been kind of like tempering expectations in terms of – you know, we don't want to throw our, you know, huge marketing budget out and, you know, announce all these things, get people all hyped up, because then they're just going to get frantic and upset that they can't get a PlayStation.
The thing about it is, it's like, also, it's like we have all these issues going on right now with technology. If they were really releasing shit like gangbusters, there wouldn't even be enough consoles to handle the whole damn
thing. Well, there aren't, you know. You know? Remember, Xbox is also sold out. Can't find that in stores either, you know?
Exactly.
But that's because the chip shortage is a big factor. We had a question about the chip shortage, which I do want to get to. So, yeah, I think we already said enough about PlayStation 1. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, it seems like a lot of AAA Western developers and some Japanese have lost some of their creative flair. Will studios coming out of China and Korea be the new studios to look at this next generation with games like Wukong, Crimson Desert, and Dokkv? I don't know. I never heard of the last
one. Pokemon
isn't
game.
Isn't Sifu in that?
They're not from. That's not an Asian game.
That's not Korean or Chinese.
Yeah, which one?
It's a Western game.
It's from Jersey.
That's for the people made Absolver.
Here's the thing. I mean, isn't Crimson Desert already out? Or am I confusing that with Black Desert?
I'm losing that Black Desert.
Yeah. Okay. Again, with a lot of
same
games,
company though.
Okay. Okay. So maybe that's why I guess I like deserts. You know,
terrible deserts at naming.
We can't really say that because all we've seen is, correct me if I'm wrong here, all we've seen is trailers, right? We haven't seen actual gameplay of these things, like an actual human being playing these games.
Well, so, of those games specifically, I mean, we've gotten, you know, PUBG is a Korean game. You know, there's a lot of Korean games and Chinese games that have been out.
Yeah.
I don't think, it's really hard to say because they're, I think the games that they're creating aren't really game, for lack of a better word, game changers.
Go ahead and say it.
They're not game just changers.
Yeah, they're not.
You're trying to tell me they're not changing no games.
They ain't changing no games. They just, you know, trying to
They're just Chinese and Korean versions of things that we already have.
Yeah, but like for
that's the best way.
Manny just said it. He just said it. Like, what's that other game with the girl with the butt? Like, that's, I'm like, that's pretty much near Automata. You know which game I'm talking about? The Korean game. You know.
Yeah, it's Bayonetta, near Automata. It's a platinum game, just made by a Korean company.
Yeah.
So it's like they're just sort of repeating the same things that have already been done over here, with the Korean or Chinese sensibility.
You just kind of hit it right there. So these guys, because the whole premise of the question is like, you know, are these guys going to pick up the slack over Westerners and Japanese not being creative? They're not being creative because they're just stealing other ideas. Yeah, you know, what was that other Chinese game that was basically, it was a first person shooter, it was a hack and slash sword driving, like, remember, it was shown for Xbox or whatever. That's another one. Like, it was literally every game on earth squeezed into one title, you know. So how is that creative? You know, how is making a Bayonetta game creative? You know,
they're not trying to be creative, and I'm gonna go dangerously close to my toe of the line here.
Yeah, bright memory. Thank you, Logic Wins. Yeah.
So Chinese games, most specifically, but both of the groups that we're talking about here, they kind of have a history of finding success in taking something that works and doing it just a little bit better, right? So they're not really trying to reinvent the wheel here. That's not where their formula from success comes from. Especially China, man. China, it's the home of the knockoffs. And that's just because that's something they do real well. And that's, while that's kind of insulting to us, you have to understand there are cultural differences. So, you know, telling somebody from China, like, hey, you took this game, made it just like this other game, did a little bit better, threw it out. Now it's a huge success, but you didn't come up with, you know, a lot of the ideas yourself. They're just going to say, like, well, I was did a very good job at targeting what was popular, what people wanted, and providing that. So therefore, I did a good job. It's they're not going for creativity, and I'm trying really hard to say this in a non-derogatory way, because it's not like they're just, you know, we're creatively bankrupt or we're not trying. It's not that. Their metrics for success are just a little bit different than ours. Classically, a lot of these games, you're going to see Chinese games, Korean games, things like that. They're going to kind of follow a trend and try and scoot it up a little bit, because a lot of those audiences, too, they don't want the wheel reinvented. You know, they want, you know, something they're kind of familiar with that they can, you know, just abuse and min-max and just get down to the nitty-gritty and exploit the ever-loving shit out of it. And that's what they like to do.
Yeah,
you know, people to Koreans and playing StarCraft, play it a whole different way than most people here do, but it's equally good, if not better, and people enjoy playing it that way. So when you're looking at these things and being like, oh, you know, are they going to be, you know, creative? Well, they're not really going to cater to our Western ideas of creativity or our Western ideas of success.
Well, you know, and here's the difficult thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not as good with video game history as you guys are. But I feel like there's been two separate, you know, kind of Tony. What's the phrase where the Cambrian explosion?
Yeah.
There's like two Cambrian explosions, like in video games, and I feel like they came from the U.S. and they came from Japan, and you know, we've come to sort of two different ways to tackle video games, and they were both innovative.
Innovative.
They're both innovative, and they're, you know, they had their own taste, they had their own flavor, they had their own influences, and you know, to this point, they've kind of melded together in a way. They've, you know, it's harder to distinguish, you know, a Japanese game to an American game these days, unless it's like a JRPG.
I was about to say, like, bro, I don't think you're gonna confuse Tales of Arise with Skyrim. You know,
yeah, and there's,
even
and
though
there's
they're really both technically action RPGs, you know, there's a difference. I just have to throw this out there. So the Japanese Cambrian explosion would be 1998, and the Western one would be 2007.
Yes. Well, and I mean, we have even examples beforehand, but they weren't explosions per se.
Yeah, exactly.
But, here's the thing. You know, we got this synergy between two different cultures that that has created a whole, like, sort of an industry, the biggest industry of with video games, and it's hard to be an outside force that has been influenced by nothing but Japanese and Western games and sort of creating something of your own when you know what sells to the audiences that play it. It's like, you know, people in Korea, people in China, people anywhere around the world, they already love video games. They've played video games their whole life. They know what they love. They love playing the Nintendo Switch. They love playing StarCraft and League of Legends and Overwatch. So it's hard to, you know, come from one side of the world and know what your audience loves and create something new. It's like that's just not how business works. And they're not, you know, Japan, and it feels like Japan and the West were creating games out of necessity to, you know, create something out of nothing. But there's already a lot of something today. And yeah, it's already the biggest market in media in existence. So it's really hard to be just find two countries that are developing games and just saying that they're going to reinvent the wheel, which in reality they're not trying to.
Yeah. Again, like you said, both sides, they know what sells. So they just keep pumping that stuff out. You know?
Yeah, and the thing about it is that when it starts to become to the point where people are not experimenting anymore and doing this because of the budgets have to be so high in order to even get noticed, you're going to see a lot of sameness. It's happening. Mm-hmm. It's happened in the movie industry, you know, and it's happening. It's been happening in the game industry.
Yeah,
where essentially people reconfiguring a formula that works.
You know what's crazy, yeah, Manny? And I'm going to bring this into TV, making a quick analogy. What TV show everyone is talking about right now?
The Squid one, right?
Yeah, Squid Games. That's another show for another time, Adam. Squid Games. That's a Korean show that everyone is going crazy about.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about it, when you watch and you think about it, it's everything that they did, it's been done before. I've seen that in plenty of other shows.
I mean, this death game show that's its own genre?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, all of that has been done before, but it's done with a Korean flavor. And people were attracted to that. And it kind of leads to what Manny's saying. It's like there hasn't been that much innovation done within the past, you know, X amount of years where, you know, just having different, looking at different people doing the same similar things on a different language feels like it's something new.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
That's just how it is, man. So yeah, these studios aren't the next wave of creativity. By the way, before we move on, Carlos, you'll like this one. You know, when we were talking about Tales of Arise and Skyrim, it's like, yeah, you're not gonna confuse them because Tales of Arise is a good game.
Hey man, I like Skyrim.
Hate, you know. Hold on, real quick question here. How much of it is on the fans for wanting sequels to games or remakes? Then people complain that everything is a remake or a sequel. That's the thing. The people who are the most vocal are going to be like the most vocal, right? But it's shown that time and time again, people want remakes. They want remasters. They want that shit. Why do you keep getting them? Because they keep selling, you know? That's why. And when it comes to creativity in general, it's like this applies to a lot of things. Like people want the same but different. Literally, it's like, wait, you can't have both, but that's literally what it is. They want the same thing, just different, you know? And you're right, especially within last, like, I would say with the PS3 eras, when I'm just talking about the big games, that's when they all kind of started melding to be the same type of thing. Like, even the PS2 era, like, you know, Xbox 360 era or whatever. No, wait, yeah, not 360 era, the Xbox
360
era.
360 PS3.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that era is when it started becoming samey, but the era before that, that's when you still had a lot of weird different games, you know. Now it's not like that, especially with the PS3 era. That's, you know, that's when it started. And think about it, with PS4 and PS5, you're like, you can't tell the difference. It's like the same shit, you know.
I mean, back in the day when we would watch E3 and those types of shows, like you would see a game and you honestly didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
these days it's like you kind of know what you're like, just thinking which category is this going to fall in. Is it going to be a battle royale, first person shooter? You know, you already know what box it's going to you know, check out. So it's unfortunate, but you know, like when you lose funding for AA games, and you, it's either the indie games or the mega AAA games, it's going to be a lot of innovation that's going to get lost.
And you know what's funny? You know, people say, and it's true to some extent, that indie games are where innovation happens. But even indie games have a shit ton of games that are the same. How many Metroidvanias have we seen? How many pixel games have we seen? You know, so yeah. Even they do the same shit where they're like, oh, this works, let's do that. You know?
They do, but in fairness, there's only they say there's only seven different movies that have ever been, seven different stories that you can actually tell. So you're gonna run across some of this sameness. And to be the cynic, that's the voice of optimism in this conversation, I suppose. We are getting a lot of indie games that are getting better, and they're slowly kind of closing that gap. Like if you think about it this way, like think about the original Xbox, right, and the types of the quality of games that came on it. That quality of game is now being made by two or three people in a basement as an indie game. So we are getting, if technically if you look at it, we are privy to some of the largest, most varied library in video game history. We just want to write a lot of it off because it's a lot of indie stuff. And we haven't quite figured how to take talent from the indie sphere and bring it into the larger sphere of influence.
Yeah.
But when those things kind of fix themselves out a little bit, we could be at, you know, we could be coming up on the golden age of indie development. As tools get more sophisticated, as it becomes easier to make them, as people have just ideas, it seems to be blowing up. So yeah, we're getting a lot of sameness, but my hope is that we're going to find a way to kind of bridge that gap and take, like I said, talent from indie into main production games. There's no reason why people shouldn't be scouting talent off of Steam indie games, in my opinion. But we are still getting a lot of really good games, and I think I'm just kind of realizing this because I've been playing Game Pass, and I've been playing a bunch of weird fucking indie games that I normally wouldn't play, and I'm actually like, you know, they're actually, some of these that are, they're actually really good. Some of the platformers on here are actually amazing compared to some of the, I mean, because platforming in and of itself is a genre that never really moved super far. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was obviously, like, at one time, the most popular genre out there, but you're right, it hasn't really evolved. Like, I like the best example I could think of, like a great modern 3D platformer, is like the Mario game. The Mario Odyssey was fucking fantastic, but fundamentally, it hasn't changed from like the old games, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I was like, there's a couple of them. There's the Fox one.
Or Sly Cooper?
Super Lucky's Tale?
No, where you play like the Shadow Fox thing.
Oh, Xbox.
The Shadow Fox.
I want to say Ico. I know that's wrong, though.
Nope.
No, I don't know.
Ico's not a platformer.
It's not Ico.
Faye?
Oh, Ori and Will of the Wisps.
No, that is awesome, too. But there's also one called Faye. F-E. Yeah, it is.
That's the one that was made by one guy, though. That's an older one, right?
Oh, you mean Fez?
No, Faye. F-E.
I never heard of it.
It's... Interesting. It's a really good-looking platformer, actually. It's quite well made. It's artistic. That came out in like 2018.
Faye.
You guys are all in front of computers. Google it.
Yeah, I am. That's my aunt's name, Faye.
Excuse me.
Yeah. All right. I'm looking at it. Oh, it's Electronic Arts. Oh shit! Look at that. Interesting. Oh, it's one of those EA indie games. You know.
Yeah, and it's a really good platformer.
Yeah, between Metroidvania, here we go.
Between that and Ori and the Blind Forest, I kind of feel like they're setting a new top level for, like, honestly, how do I say this? In terms of 2D side-scrolling platformers, some of the best video games I've played have been modern indie games, even going so far as to surpass a lot of the old games we played when we were younger.
That's a take.
But I don't feel like Ori's innovative.
It's not innovative at all. It's fucking fantastic.
I didn't say it was.
You know?
It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing, but yeah, it's not innovating anything. And this thing, right here, it says in the description, Metroidvania action platform, like, okay, million of those, you know?
Yeah, I'm not saying it can be innovative. That's my point with this was just that the things that used to take a whole team years to do, we can now do with a much smaller budget and group. Yeah. And if that idea continues, then we're going to see a more robust indie landscape, which could help alleviate some of this sameness.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see about that. By the way, you know, I'll make just a quick comment about what you said about, like, you know, big studios taking some of the indie guys. Here's the problem with that. It's like, okay, let's say you're a big shot indie developer, right? If you go into an EA, you're like one of thousands. You've just been lost in the shuffle. You're just a drop, you know? So that's why even some like big name developer guys like, fuck that shit. I'm going to go indie because, you know, I want to actually have my voice be heard, you know?
You know, man, I think it's going to become kind of like comics and like Marvel. Like I think to a lot of people when they started out comics, you know, Marvel / DC was the pinnacle. You're like, oh man, when I do it, when I get there, I've made it. And you get there and you make it for a while and you're successful. And then you kind of find out that, yeah, it's the real movers and the shakers are kind of doing their own thing. They don't like being lost to that amalgamous blob. So then, you know, you go in, you test your metal, you're like, all right, I've made it. And then you go out and you do your own thing with the confidence that you've earned. It's not necessarily the best method, but it seems to be the one that is kind of hammering itself out.
Yeah, for sure. All right, move on here. What are we up to? One subset. What's going on, men? All right.
Yo, yo.
First question is, will the current generation be extended or cut short due to the chip shortage? She goes, I asked because I recently played the medium through the cloud on Xbox One. I don't have a Series X as of yet. I didn't. That's a good question because, you know, like the natural inclination is like, oh yeah, they're gonna extend this shit because they're not selling consoles. But what if they go, fuck them, we're gonna cut this shit short? But again, I can't even see that at this moment. Like, they're gonna keep this going for a while. That's just my estimation.
Why is that the natural inclination, Tony?
Just based off the past, you know. You know,
they like, hate money.
No, but the thing is, like, think about it. We've already had two generations that have lasted long, 7 years in a row, because they're like, we're keep making money. Why the fuck do we need new consoles? You know,
yo, 7 years is the standard. We just don't need another 10.
Yeah,
but let's say if we're
Brett, remember back in the day, it used to be 4 to 5 years. Then we get a new console. Then with the PS3 era, I was like, whoa, this shit's going on forever. You know,
wasn't the PS3 like 10 years or something?
No,
like
it was
that?
Seven. It was seven.
Was it seven?
Okay. Yeah, it was seven. And just like PS4 era was also seven, you know, although people didn't complain about that one for some reason. Actually, you can still argue it's still going, but that's another story, you know.
I remember vividly complaining about it, Tony. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah.
If we go another year with people still having issues,
it's going to keep going, man. Yeah.
And there's no reason if they just imagine that if another year and then going into the next year after people still trying to get the current what we consider current gen
yeah, yeah.
And then they announce a new console coming.
Yeah, they're tripping.
Some people exactly. Some people would actually go through a whole console generation saying, "Shit, I never got my hands on that one."
Yeah.
Because there's some chip shortage. Now they're going a different route with different chips, and they're going to have those. This is weird. So I don't see that.
Does it matter if they're all backwards compatible?
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
Also, I don't think this is a question of how soon do they want to release their system. It's a question of how soon do they think their competitors are going to release their system,
yeah.
And how do they get ahead of them? This thing is broken free from normal logic, I think, and we're kind of now in a bit of an arms race in terms of systems. Because yeah, I'm sure Microsoft would love for Sony to sit back and say, you know what, we're going to pull the system, we're going to push it out, extend a little bit because of the pandemic. I feel like we could get 10 years out of this. And then we'll roll over, make new games. Yeah, Microsoft would love that because they'd be like, cool, here's the Xbox X2. Buy it.
If Microsoft even release another Xbox, they'd be like, yeah, fuck
no,
it.
But see, that's
download the app on your TV, you know?
Oh, there you go. Both companies, I think, are going to be in a rush to outdo the other one. Not because the market's ready for it, not because it's the best strategy, because history has shown that if you get in there before your competitor does by a wide enough margin, that it can pretty much seal your domination for years and years to come.
Well, yeah. Remember why the 360 and the PS3 lasted so long is because of the recession. They felt that just people wouldn't be able to buy anything, so then they dragged it out. So we could see this get extended out because of this whole issue with the shortages.
What about last gen? What was that extended out? Because it lasted just as long as the PS3 era, 7 years.
I think they just didn't know which direction they wanted to go in, because for a while, at least with PlayStation, they were pushing the VR and trying to see if people were really interested in that whole.
Yeah, or do you think the generation got artificially extended by the refreshes that they came out in the middle of the generation? Remember the PS4, Pro and all that?
Well, I think I saw those refreshes as an attempt to see if this is a cheaper way that they can go about doing. If they can say, all right, this is what the stock stuff we have. If we can put another video card, maybe a little memory. Do this all work and we can save some money and get some double dipping in this? And that was an attempt, but it didn't seem to work out that great for either of them.
Yeah. No, but the PS3 era was definitely because of the financial crisis. Yeah. This one, it may be extended because of the chip shortage. Because if this generation lasts as long as last gen and last gen before that, 2027 is when we'll get new consoles. But who even knows if they're going to be making consoles by then? It may all just be digital by then, you know?
I'll tell you this much. I have a feeling if Microsoft does go the route of making another console just for the hell of just having it, because that's what they said. They wanted their service, and I wouldn't be surprised if they make it module. And it was like, hey, it's modular enough. Now you can go and put your own video card in, at least to that point. Hard drive.
That would be incredibly smart.
That's what Brett wants. Yeah, that's what Brett's been asking.
I could definitely see them, because then I'm like, hey, this wipes your hands of it. You still can get the box if you want. You want to get your own video card? We got a partner that we deal with video cards and on our boxes anyway. Go ahead, get their newer version, pop it in. No issues, no compatibility problems, plug and play. You want to do that? Do it. I can see that.
Here could be where I think Tony is right, but indirectly right. I think that the PC cards, through not being able to be made and manufactured, distributed at, you know, as much as they want, mean that a lot of people don't have the PC power to run card melting games, which is pushing back on developers wanting to make card melting games. You know, they're not going to make a game for the four people who can play it. They've learned their lesson from Crysis.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like maybe the demand for visual fidelity is decreasing, or at least, you know, the improvement of it is decreasing, because I've kind of noticed progress has hit a little bit of a slump, and I can't help but feel like that's because, you know, if they can get the computers to do the processing power to make it, even then there's nobody to play it, so what's the point? And as long as technological progress is kind of being halted, then there's no need for other systems. But the second that technology is there, you're not going to want to keep it out of people's hands, right?
Yeah.
It's
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I just want to just jump in because I agree. Just to add more to what you're saying, why do you think every game looks like Fortnite now? You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck's the point of making it look super high, like realistic and shit when, you know, you can make more money making it look cartoony and shit? That's why everybody's – and obviously you want to get the games on every platform possible, so you can't go crazy with the graphics to begin with. You know, so I think you might be right about that.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance of wanting it to look better while still making it accessible. Yeah. And progress has seemed to be still to, like, I've actually had this theory, I saw it that, Tony, this PC that you built is actually probably going to last you longer than all the other PCs because we're not advancing at such a breakneck pace right now.
Yeah. I'm glad you told me that, because I was feeling kind of upset because Intel has the new 12th generation chip. I'm like, fuck, man. I'm looking at this, my PC, like, man, you're already obsolete, man. Alder Lake, it's always, man. It's always chasing. Brett, you're right. It's like with the way things are just slow now, it probably will last longer than I expected, you know, which is kind of sad if you think about it, you know.
Well, we actually live in that weird side. Like, remember when you used to watch, like, sci-fi movies or something like that? Like, Star Wars, I don't give a fuck what it is. And somebody's digging through, like, a junk heap, or they find, you know, an old piece of machinery computer, and they're like, oh man, I can still totally use this. And they hook it up, and you're sitting at home being like, whoa, 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 whoa. I can't find something that's more than 3 years old that is still even going to work with the things that I have. So this idea of finding junk tech that's still somehow viable is just a weird fucking concept to me. But we're actually moving into that space where I'm like, hey, I found a 5-year-old graphic card. Dude, that's totally beast. It's better than what I have now. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah,
that's, when I was a kid, if you told me I found a 10-year or a 5-year-old video card, I'd be like, cool, so trash it?
You know? Yeah, so, man, I found this the Sony Walkman. It's like, all right, bro, what are you going to do with that, you know? Oh, man, that's funny. All right, let's move on here. Next question. Kind of related. Should some gamers skip this generation because of the advancements in cloud gaming? And again, like he said before, he's like, he's just playing cloud games off of, he's playing Xbox Series X games on his Xbox One because of cloud gaming.
Maybe. I would.
If you got the bandwidth for it. If you got the bandwidth, sure.
Yeah. If you got decent bandwidth, yeah. Why not?
If you got the bandwidth and you can't afford a next gen console, yes. But I still think for the most people, it's not viable just because the infrastructure for the internet's not there, you know?
It's not optimal. It's not fully built out. I'd say next generation. You could probably skip next generation because I think shit will be hammered out a little bit more by then.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. Yeah, this generation, they're still working out the kinks, you know? I think we all kind of agree on that one, you know? So we'll go to the next
one. Steam Deck.
Yeah. All right. All right, we got a couple of more Mopit questions that I'm going to sponsor. All right. First one, they're both related to Forza.
Who's this I'm?
Yeah. Mr. Romulan. Okay. Would you welcome a real life Forza festival? And if you were able to race in it, what car would you be driving and what location of the event? So I guess it's a 2-part question there. Would you welcome a real life Forza festival? Sure. I wouldn't watch it, but okay. You know, if it makes people happy,
watch it. I'd watch it. Why not? If they have all the camera angles and you could see it, just like in NASCAR where you could see from the dash of all the vehicles on the track and stuff, that'd be cool. I'd like to watch something like that. I mean, it's almost like watching those F1 races in a way, because they're racing in the streets. Yeah, they got barriers and stuff like that, but they're real locations. They're not just on a track somewhere.
Yeah, I feel like that already exists, though, doesn't somewhere?
It does. It does. Yeah, in Europe, they have shit like that.
Yeah, and then they do some of those types, but not...
World Rally Racing does some shit like that, too, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, so, like, wouldn't like, a Forza thing, wouldn't that just be racing?
Yeah. So, yeah. I guess he's talking about... If you play the Forza games, he's talking about with that exuberant spirit, you know, that festival type of spirit, you know?
Oh, yeah, but, yeah, that's just Europe, man. Yeah. Go over there. Well, they get real big over that shit.
Oh, yeah, they do it.
Yeah, so, yeah, it already exists. Europe has it, you know?
For some reason, we just have NASCAR. Like, apparently, we can only have one dominant form of racing, and apparently here it's NASCAR.
Yeah,
like,
in a circle.
Rally sport?
In a circle, you know?
I remember I think it was one of the... It's definitely Forza, because I had my racing wheel, which I plan on getting back. And I remember racing, and they did the F1 type thing. I'm pretty sure it's a Forza. Or Project Gotham. Maybe it's Project Gotham. But they closed off Times Square.
Yeah.
And you can loop from up to, like, 52nd all the way down past the Times Square flat building and then loop around. And I was like, damn, I'm watching. I'm like, that could be doable. I could see them doing this in real life. Why not? Why not have one of these type of open world races just looping around Times Square? That would bring buco bucks. You know, got everybody on the sidewalks cheering and stuff. But, yeah, that's the only time you... Yeah, I guess I would like to see it if it was in new locations in the U.S. Yeah, Europe already does it. But here in the U.S., it's not so popular. So I don't know why. We're all about cars.
Yeah, watch the OG Grand Prix or Top Gear as it was back then.
Yep. As for the second part, no, I don't have no interest in participating in such a race. None whatsoever. I like my life, you know. I'm good.
Yanni! Are you gonna go race, Sonny?
This is pod racing.
Oh God!
Hey, do not take credits. Only money.
My tricks don't work on me. Only money.
Oh man!
This is pod racing.
Now this is pod racing, or that one creature's like, yeah, and then he crashes.
Yep.
Pod racing would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
yo, I die in 2 seconds, crash into a fucking pillar. Oh shit!
Shit!
You know? Yeah, right there. Explosion, and you hear some fucking puppet yelling at you. You know, like, you know. Anyway, go on. You know.
I would want to, but you know, similar to your answer for pod racing, I mean, I wouldn't want to race.
Fuck that.
I would crash that car.
Yeah, you need experience. Not anybody could just jump into one of those cars and say, yeah, I can do this. Nope. We learned that from, we were just talking about him, the guy from Rush Hour. What was his name? That comedian. That was
part of Rush Hour. Yeah.
Come on, Lee.
He tried that. They put him in one of those fancy cars, and Tucker. He was on the track, and his first turn, he crashed right into the barricade.
Oh, shit.
Chris Tucker.
Yeah, you can YouTube that. And he thought he can do it. He's like, shit, I thought I could just do this.
I play video games, I could do this.
Yeah. I mean, you can go over and like go to some of those big rally track. They're almost fucking festivals. I mean, go out, drink some, hang out with Techno Viking, get run off or run over by a car that's flown off the track. Shit, it's a weird amount. Like, I have no idea. Like, for those of you who don't watch rally racing, there's like a thin strip of tape at the bend of a turn, and like behind the tape are like people with cameras.
Yeah.
And it is super common for that car to just go straight through that fucking tape. And like the whole idea is everybody's agreement is just, well, we'll dodge out of the way.
Oh man. Yeah, by the way, it's kind of funny. I had to review this game called World Rally Racing, right? The latest one. And in the game, you could actually race some of the classic races from back in the day. The main difference is it's the same kind of roads and stuff, but the main difference is there were no fucking barricades in the 80s and 70s, you know? It was like, oh, shit, I'm talking about in the video game, like, but they're replicating it like it was back in the day. So it was like, when you're racing the modern races, there's, you know, even though it's Europe, they have, you know, barriers and shit, but then you race something from, like, 1985, no barriers at all.
Did they have the co-pilot?
Oh, yeah, they have the co-pilot. Turn here, man, yeah, they still have that.
Because I always wondered about that, if the old way, if it was just like, no, it's just a driver just with a map just trying to figure this out. Now you have the co-pilot, and then, of course, you got the, you know, your guy with the drone and all that just giving you heads up and shit, feeding information. Yeah,
yo, Barry, you know what to do, brother. What happened?
They got drone guys now? That's pretty dope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, man. What's up with the trolls tonight, man? All right. Move on.
Don't like pod racing.
Yeah. Next one. This is all about Forza. I don't understand this question, though, but I'll ask it. Is Forza kicking off a new era for Game Pass? How?
What's the era of Game Pass?
I don't.
The sign language? That's the only thing I know that they added new.
That's cool, language. But I'm like, is that really revolutionizing anything?
I think I get it.
Explain it to me because I'm confused.
Forza is the first giant AAA almost system selling game being put on a digital release or a streaming digital release. It's a tentpole game that they're putting on Game Pass, and there are going to be others. This is just the first of them. Because when you talk about like the three big games that push Xbox, Halo, Gears, Forza.
You know what? I think you might be right about that because one of the narratives that the PlayStation guys have been pushing is like, oh, Xbox has gone 500 and whatever days without an exclusive. This is an exclusive, you know? And it's on Game Pass, first try. So, yeah. So I guess, but the thing is, like, yes, it is bringing a new era, quote unquote, but it was expected, you know?
But now it's here.
Yeah. So
it's not a surprise era, but like I will admit,
because Halo's coming next month, you know.
Yeah, but this, you know, up until now, like as committed as Microsoft has been to Game Pass, and we are, you know, it's kind of ruined because when they spent $7 billion on Bethesda, we kind of went, oh, that makes sense. But if you set that aside, this is them finally putting the second foot in the boat.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Fully committed now.
Yeah, no, I understand it from that standpoint because it is because I didn't even think about it in that term. Like, yeah, it is the first major Xbox exclusive release on Game Pass day one. So yeah, that is actually a pretty big deal. So I guess we'll see more coming. You know, Xbox just needs to keep cranking out those games. You know, big
Carlos,
games.
Did I steal your answer? I want to hear what you have to say.
No, yeah, you pretty much said it. I think you know the narrative has been strong with, you know, showing the first party games from Xbox and they're all being in yellow being the Metacritic score that's like kind of the meh games, like the 60s and 70 types games. So, you know, Forza being this flagship game for Microsoft and it being critically acclaimed and having as much hype as it has, you know, people are wondering if this is the start of the new era where we're finally starting getting the trickle down of the games of the sort of the promise that Microsoft has shown with, you know, acquiring all these studios and having so many studios that can produce quality games and Forza being the start of it. And
well,
then,
they definitely
know,
put their money where their mouth is. Because that was, I think, a lot of things that people were worried about. That they were like, oh, they're going to acquire all these studios. They're going to put the lower end games on Game Pass.
Yeah, Marks. That's been a narrative too. Yeah.
Marks, you're going to come up with some reason to say, oh, well, these are special and they're out of that service. But nope, that's not the case. They're all here.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess, it is a new era for sure. All right. Let's move on here. Tumeke. All right. His question is, correct me if we've answered this one before. Okay. Oh. What is the greatest video game rivalry? His examples are Mario versus Bowser, Ryu versus Sagat, Jim Ryan versus gamers.
I like that one.
Yeah, I like that one. But not out of those, just in general. What are some great video game rivalries?
Sega do what Nintendo don't.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, Nintendo and Sega. There you go.
That's the original, like,
you know,
big rivalry. You know, the PS that's
still going on.
Well, not anymore. I mean, Sega ain't around no more. You know.
No. But I mean,
they're in the cloud now.
With Nintendo and Sony, that hate is still there.
Oh yeah, but now it's really more about Sony versus Microsoft. Yeah, that's what it really is now. COD versus Sephiroth. Yeah, that's a good one. You know, classic rivalry right there. Manny, you're muted.
Nintendo versus Common Sense.
Cool.
Crowdo.
Yeah, Crowdo. Solid Snake versus Liquid Snake, you know.
Liquid.
Brother.
Brother.
Yeah, ooh, Kane versus Raziel. There you go.
Todd Howard versus The Truth.
Ooh, hold on. Is this guy related to Brian, the Drunken Guardian? Not the Drunken Demon, you know?
Not the Drunken Demon. Yeah. Not the... Yeah.
Oh, but, my God. It's the Yin to his Yang.
Yeah, but by the way, shout out to...
They're going to have an epic clash.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, Drunken Guardian, shout out to you, first-time commenter. Good stuff, man.
Assassin's Creed versus Efficiency.
Oh, see what else. What are some other rivals? Like, you know, Link versus Ganon, shit like that, you know?
I'm just going to go Nintendo versus their fans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends. You know, there are those that, you know, love to swim in the rivers, even though the rivers are filled with shit.
Oh, yeah. No, a lot of people are sharing that sentiment. What's the name of that kid? The main dude from Punch-Out?
Little Mac.
Yeah, Little Mac versus Little Mac. Mike Tyson. There you go.
Against everybody. Yeah.
Well, here's a classic rivalry. Literally every gamer from the 80s versus the first Ninja Turtles game that Konami put out. Fucking,
oh,
that fucking game.
That fucking game was hard.
Yeah, you want to talk about old school. How about my Will to Live versus Ghouls and Goblins?
Oh. See, that's what I'm saying. It's like, stop saying, oh, this game is the Dark Souls of. Say this game is the Ghouls and Goblins of. You know, if you want
to
talk
how I describe Dark Souls. It's like, it's the modern age Ghouls and Goblins, man. Exactly. Except for it's not.
It's fucking hard.
Yeah, Jin versus Heihachi. There you go.
Jin versus The Truth.
Oh, a lot of good stuff there. My brain can't think of any right now, though. But you guys come up with some good ones. Oh, yeah, you know, like Mega Man versus Dr. Wily, shit like that, you know? Mario versus Bowser, we said that already.
Bethesda versus Quality Control.
Oh.
I think that's just Bethesda versus their own games.
Yeah. Oh, Barry Byrne goes historically Atari versus Activision, which birthed the third-party developer. I like that history, man. Good stuff.
We're also forgetting. I think this might be even bigger than Microsoft versus Sony. This Nintendo versus Sony.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, we saw how that turned out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they fell off the. You know, the second the N64 came out, you knew it wasn't a match.
Yeah, you already knew. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Nintendo versus good controller design. You know.
Well, there was that one time where it was PlayStation versus Rumble.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember.
You can blame Microsoft for that one.
Yeah. That's
good
crazy.
Times, man.
You jumped in there and snatched up that company and be like, you and don't want it. Oh, we do.
And then somebody's like, oh, look at the six axis. This is what they called it, right? Like, oh, this is a six axis.
Yeah, six axis. Yeah.
We've evolved beyond.
Like, man, you evolved nothing. It's lighter, man. It was a little plasticky controller. What is this? You know, ain't got no rumble. And then they were trying to pay it off. Like, oh, gamers don't need rumble. You know, they didn't ask for it. And then, like, a year later, we gave the gamers what they wanted. Okay, that's what you said. They didn't want it, bruh. What happened?
They were looking for a solution. That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
That same thing they said about online?
Oh, yeah.
The banana controller. You mean the fucking the boomerang controller, you know?
Silver that's boomerang.
It. Oh, my God. All right.
Are we talking, like, characters here?
No. I mean, yeah, characters.
Or just, like, fan bases. Like,
anything. Yeah.
It may or may not be it. Mega Man X. You fall into one of two camps.
You mean like Mega Man versus Mega Man X fans?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, Mega Man X fans are kind of like a huge subset of the Mega Man fan base. Might be even
or it's exclusive. Like, or it's like Sonic fans, you know, the original Sonic classic Sonic fans and the ones that like those
games. The 3D games.
The runner games.
Yeah. By the way, Manny, Riku got me with Mega Man X, just like he got us with the Japanese games. Right, so he's like, oh, Mega Man X. So I'm thinking, oh, this dude's hardcore Mega Man X. It turned out he only played one Mega Man X game. He was talking about five or something. Like, what? Like, dude.
Word.
No, bro, that's Mega Man 10. That's
yeah, Mega Man 10. You know, Mega Man 10 was actually fun though.
It was.
Yeah, they brought it back to the old school. Just like 9 before it. All right, man. Let's move on to the next question. You know. Right. This one's crazy. What will happen first? PlayStation games. Actually, who's asking this fucking question? It's Syrian Air Force. We also goes, hello, everyone. How are you doing? We're doing great, man.
Yo.
Thanks for showering this month.
Yeah. Hey, shower. There you go. All right. What will happen? Which will happen first? If any of these happen, PlayStation games on Xbox or Xbox games on PlayStation?
Xbox games on PlayStation.
I see that happening before the other way around. You know, it's like, hey.
Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah. You know, but here's the thing. But you know how they do it? Not the games themselves, the service.
Game Pass.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Minecraft, even though it was after the fact, they could have pulled the shit and they didn't. It's still there.
Because well, it still makes some money, you know?
Exactly. It still pops up with a Microsoft logo right at the beginning of the game.
So it's not really that you're going to get Xbox, you're going to get the service, you know?
Yeah.
But again, we talk about this word. There's some caveats. Sony is not going to let you access every fucking game off of Game Pass. It's going to be the Xbox games, you know?
Yeah, actually, this,
yeah.
This has been answered.
Okay.
Have you not seen the Sony PlayStation games on Microsoft's service yet?
No.
Oh, on Windows? Yes, we have. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they both have games on each other's then, you know?
Well, yeah, but I don't think so. I don't think Microsoft's going to they're vying too much on Game Pass. They're not going to let their goodies leak on other systems unless it's in the vein of Game Pass, and I don't see Sony doing that.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's going to be Game Pass. It's not going to be Xbox like games.
No, they're not. Yeah, they're not. They're
no,
not.
No, I know. I don't see Sony
publishing shit that goes on their store. It's just going to be what if it's going to be just like Netflix. It's not like Netflix.
Yeah, and it's
going
to be very curated. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Sony's letting Game Pass on their platform. Oh,
no. Yeah, I mean, that could happen too. I'm just saying that's what I think would happen.
It has a better chance. It has a better chance of happening than the other way
around. Yeah. I don't see.
It's already happened the other way around. You're already seeing Sony games on Microsoft's platform.
Yeah, but you're think about what you said.
You can't play it on the Xbox. Yeah,
exactly. You can't play it on Xbox. That's the difference. It's on Microsoft's platform, not on Xbox. You know, I don't see Sony games on Xbox at all.
I mean, both of them seem, you know, very far fetched to me. But yeah, they
are far fetched. Let's just be real.
I'm gonna have to go the opposite, man, because I've already seen Microsoft put their games on, their platforms.
Yeah, what about Xbox? That's the question.
Xbox, I think their priorities have changed. I think their priorities. You can take their past examples. Yes, like they did let Minecraft and everything stay, but you know, right now they're focusing on Game Pass, which relies on exclusivity for a prolonged period of time. It's not like, you know, the fucking Sony where like, oh, we're going to release the game. A year later, it's made all the money. It's going to throw it to the PC players as, you know, toss them a bone. Right now, that's a model that makes sense because it makes them money. But the other way around, like, no, they're not going to let, you know, something go off of Game Pass in a year onto PlayStation because it's still a draw for new Game
Pass. Well, that's not going to happen. Yeah, it's not going to happen. We're just saying the actual app itself. We're not talking about, you know, games.
So
that's not going
to
happen.
You honestly think that it's more likely the entire Xbox, the entire Game Pass app is going to come to Sony than Sony letting a game go onto Microsoft's or onto an Xbox?
Yes.
Yes.
I disagree.
Yeah.
Thing about.
Oh, by the way, MLB Sony published this on Xbox right now. Anyway,
yeah,
go on.
So that's a PlayStation game on there.
Is the browser still on PS5? I don't think I bothered even to check to see if the web browser returned.
Oh, the browser in 5. 4 has one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if they bought it. Because if they did, then there you go. Just go to the xbox.com/play and do it from there if it supports that browser, whatever they're using. Probably
Sony doesn't even want to allow cross-play, whereas Microsoft has been okay with it several times. So I think they made their attitude pretty clear on that.
Yeah.
I think if the roles were reversed, I would still think that I would think Microsoft would be clutching their pearls, and then Sony would be the opener. See, it's always the second guys around that are more open to doing new things.
Phil Spencer's there. We're open to be on multiple platforms. He didn't say PlayStation, but he pretty much said PlayStation.
Yeah,
they'd love to be. I don't think you think Sony would let them though.
No, here's the thing. If Sony lets that happen, it's going to be a very curated experience. You're not going to be playing Square Enix games through Game Pass. No fucking way Sony's letting that happen, you know?
So they're going to give you a worse version of Game Pass?
Yeah,
it's going to be
just Xbox games, and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Because Sony is not going to let you play third-party games on it. I guarantee you that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it would hurt their business, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that they can make that. I don't think they can say, we're giving you shitty Game Pass. Or rather, I don't think even Microsoft would say we're gonna release shitty Game Pass on PlayStation. That just doesn't sound like a thing that happens. The thing that sounds more likely to me is a 2-year-old PlayStation game. They're like, fuck it, just put it on Xbox. Let's make some more money.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Because Sony does it all the time. They're like, nope, this is not coming to PC. Okay, it's coming to PC. We made our money.
The thing about it is the PC is sort of like it's almost like its own fan base.
It's its own
section. So I feel like when they do that sort of stuff, it's because they're just like they're looking for that extra shot to the arm. I don't think that they're going to do the extra shot to the arm with it when there's actual competition. But as we said before, the idea of an actual Xbox box would probably, you'll probably not see that thing. Eventually, that thing will go away.
This is the
and
way
all the yeah. services, all it will be the service.
Yeah.
So who's the competition? They don't have a competing box out.
Yeah, I kind of see PC as like Manhattan. Nobody lives in Manhattan. People just work in Manhattan. It's just open to everybody, you know? There's no like, you know what I'm saying? It's, you never go, yo, man, I got beef with Manhattan. Like, that doesn't happen, you know? It's because that's just where people work. Nobody has any feelings for it. So that's how I see the PC platform. It's just everybody's
platform. Yeah, it's not a Microsoft.
Yeah, it's just everybody.
It's not a Microsoft platform. I give you that.
Yeah, Windows is, but not PC. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Windows is, I wouldn't even necessarily, I mean, technically it is, but like you said, it's kind of its own thing.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, here's a Microsoft exclusive platform, because you can always do Linux, I guess. But
yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Just that the idea of a shitty Game Pass coming is, I don't see that.
I don't think it is coming. I'm saying if it were, I don't think any of these scenarios are going to happen, to be honest. You know?
Carlos, you'll be quiet. I'm curious your thought. Like, do you, Am I crazy here thinking that like PlayStation is just going to shovel old games onto whatever fucking hardware they can to get money later after they've gotten, you know, the bonus for being exclusive and, you know, having it come out the PlayStation and yada yada, yada, throw the ticker tape parade. But when that's all done, I feel like they're going to throw that shit on to whatever platform can make the money.
Carlos, what's your take, man?
So I stepped away for a little bit and I just got back to the start of Brett's question. So hopefully I answered correctly or to the spirit of the question. I think that, you know, I think they've done it with PC. They can obviously do it with the Xbox. They can do it with the Wii as well or the Switch as well. But I don't think we're at the stage where PlayStation would want to play game with, you know, with the competing consoles. The PC is not really a competition with PlayStation right now. I feel like they have a lot of ego to
mm-hmm.
that will hold them against putting it on an Xbox console. Because just imagine, even if it's a year after the release date, imagine God of War a year later on the Xbox.
That's not going to happen.
Do you think that's less likely than the opposite?
Yes, I feel like we would see Halo on a PlayStation console a year later or via Game Pass than we would see God of War. Obviously, I think, you know, we all have our biases, but I feel like my understanding of Sony is that they're way more hard-headed in the way that they operate things as compared to Microsoft. Microsoft has kind of had to gone, you know, out of the box in order to transform what they currently are, you know, what Xbox is and what Game Pass is. And a lot of that, you know, I think they've gone through a lot of soul searching, especially Phil and his team, just to, you know, revive and a dying platform. You know, Xbox last generation was, you know, going to depths where, you know, Sega has gone in the past. And I feel like they had to come up with something, quote Adam Vale, they got to have some. And that was Game Pass, and that's their vision. Xbox, you know, acts as a service more than the console, even though the console is doing pretty good. I feel like they, you know, having Game Pass on every single Roku, on PCs, web browsers, Apple TVs, PlayStations, and Switches, I feel like that's the end goal for Microsoft at the moment. That it's not much
Roku
more
yet, right?
It's going to come, you know?
No, well, that's what I'm wondering. Because I have even my Shield, which is an Android TV, and it's not available. There's a backdoor way of doing it, but it's not the official.
Yeah.
It's not available there either, but that's their end game, is to be on all those things.
I get that. I'm just surprised. I guess I'm the only one that thinks that you know, their Sony's attitude is going to be the thing. Like, I don't imagine Sony would let Game Pass onto their system. Not only does it undermine them as a game making company, it just, I don't know,
they,
man.
I get it. They wouldn't see it as a win. They wouldn't see it as like, ah, look, we beat our competitors. Now we have their service on. They wouldn't see it that way.
Especially when they have a competing service.
Yeah. They would.
Yeah.
And again, if we're talking about hubris, that's where I see the hubris coming, as we're like, we're not carrying Game Pass ever, because then we'd have to admit that our competitor did something right.
Well, it's not only that. It's the fact that just imagine you have Game Pass on the PlayStation. Most people buy their PlayStations, you know, and especially when it launches, PlayStations are almost sold at a loss, maybe just a little bit of a profit. Imagine buying a PlayStation day one and you don't buy any of their first party IPs. You got Game Pass, you pay their subscription service, you get to play all the games you want from Microsoft in day one. You're not giving a single dime. I don't know how the distribution works with the revenue with that would be with PlayStation, but I'm pretty sure they won't get anywhere near the revenue that, you know, releasing some of their first party games will do. And you know, if they want to sell more consoles, having Game Pass is going to help. But if they want to sell more, you know, if they want to take control of their software revenue and you know, the narrative, then I don't think they can have Game Pass on there.
Yeah. Also, we got to consider the fact that, you know, Sony as a company, they make most of their money off PlayStation. They need to sell consoles. That's why they haven't evolved to like a subscription service like Game Pass, because they need to sell that hardware. If they start having PlayStation games on Xbox, that's going to seriously undermine them selling consoles. So that's not going to happen, you know, wholesale like that. You know, again, having games on PC, that's fine. It's not a competitor. You know, it's a whole different market. Xbox is a direct competitor. They're not going to put their own games on there and undermine their sales. But like I said before, Carlos, you were away by this. If, and a huge if, because I don't think any of these scenarios are going to happen. If you were to have Game Pass on PlayStation, it would have to be GIMP. PlayStation, it's not going to let any third-party games on that shit. No way. Because it would cut into their sales, you know, so it would only be Xbox games exclusively, you know. But like you said, and I agree, this is where Microsoft's going, man. It's the whole subscription service that they're going towards. But something else you said, which is kind of interesting. We were asked this before a couple weeks ago. I honestly believe if Xbox One did well selling-wise, I don't even know if we would have anything like Game Pass. So I think Game Pass, like you said, was like Hail Mary. It's like, okay, we are fucking up. We are sinking. We need to do something, you know? So maybe we need to have a Game Pass, you know, because it seems like a desperation move. It's working. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know, man. I think they would just be like Sony. Sony's like, why the fuck do we need to do that? We're selling consoles, you know? So definitely a desperation move. But, yeah, they're definitely going to get that Game Pass on everything, man. I guarantee you, you're going to buy your new TV 5 years from now. Maybe, who knows? Get the app right there, you know? It's going to be crazy. Bluetooth, you know? Get a controller in your set, you know? All right, man.
Good
stuff, man. All right, move on. Last two questions of the night, people. All right, we got Logic Wins, who's been joining us in the chat all night. What's going on, brother?
Yo.
All right.
Yo.
First question. Where does Guardians of the Galaxy rank in your favorite comic book-based video games of all time? All right, who has actually played this game on the panel? This is me and Manny, right? And Adam, okay. I'll rank it high. I'm not going to give it numbers. That's fucking pedantic shit. Like, it's up there for sure. You know, it's very, very well done game. Very enjoyable, you know?
What game is this?
Guardians of the Galaxy, the new one, which is fucking awesome.
I got questions for you later.
Okay.
Or maybe not later, maybe on air if we run out of time.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I'm thinking about now, what is my favorite superhero game? I don't even know what that is. Is
it Spider-Man?
Is it?
Of all time,
because I think it might be Arkham City, man.
Yeah,
you know, Arkham Asylum. City,
Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, wait, Arkham. Which one's the second one?
City.
Okay, Arkham, yeah. I think that may be my favorite one. You know,
I got one that you might have not considered it, but what about Turtles in Time?
Oh yeah, that's a good one. You know,
that qualifies. Yeah, that was a comic.
That's not also officially based on the comic book, though.
He did, but he didn't say comic books. He has superheroes. So technically, we could throw Infamous in there.
I was about to say, can we throw Infamous in there? Because
I will. I'll throw Infamous in there. It's a superhero game. That's not a superhero. By that token, Marcus Phoenix is a superhero too. You know,
Roadie run.
You know, for days. I would rank Guardians pretty up there. You know, it's definitely one of the better superhero games we've gotten for sure. Way better. I mean, that's not saying much. Way better than fucking Avengers, you know?
Okay, I gotta ask.
Yeah.
What the fuck genre is Guardians? Because, like, I've seen some trailers, and, like, it kind of looks like the same game type that Marvel's is, but Marvel's is clearly, like, an online kind of thing. So I can't
Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy is an epitome. Uncharted. Yeah, it's the epitome of an action adventure game like Uncharted, Tomb Raider, those type of games.
That's it.
It's, okay. Yeah, it's literally that genre. Yeah, it's not doing. The it's only, not reinventing the wheel. It's literally action adventure.
The only difference. The only difference is you have other people walking around with you, and when you get into battles, you can tell them to do things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's an action adventure game. It's not really doing anything wildly different, you know.
Well, I couldn't tell if it was like a Marvel type game, if this was meant to be played in a co-op at all. Oh, no, kind of like a Dragon Age type game.
No, pure. No, it's not. It's not Dragon Age because it's not an RPG, but it's single player, purely single player.
Well, you know, but how in Dragon Age you control one character and then command the other ones coming into you. Like it's tough to get. It was just a bit tough to get a bead.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, I knew nothing about this game.
Yo, interesting.
Nothing about this because superhero games are usually so awful. Yeah, so no, I'm like, oh shit. It wasn't until Tony said that it was a contender for Game of the Year that I was like, what the fuck is he talking
about? And Brett, the funny thing is, like, people on Twitter, the main consensus is like, whoa, this game's fucking awesome. How? Because they thought it was going to be like Avengers, you know?
And I had a feeling. I mean, that's why they sent it out so early for reviews, is because they wanted everybody to play it and spread the word that this is not the same. It's a different studio that's doing this. This is the team that worked on the new Tomb Raider one. So this is not the same.
This is the studio. Deus Ex Studios, yeah.
Yeah, so they just wanted to make that clear. And when I did my review, my opening paragraph was just that, just to point out, this is not the same studio that did that Avengers shit that you don't like.
Yeah.
This is not them.
I put that in the strap line. This is the game we wanted Avengers to be. This is the game we wanted Avengers to be, you know? And unlike Eternals, the characters are good, you know? And people like them, you know? And that really comes out in the story, too. Imagine an Eternals game, that would be so fucking boring, you know? All right, man. Guardians is good stuff, man. Go play it. All right, and the final question of the night. By the way, whatever happened to Final Stage Boss, man? I used to ask him a bunch of questions, and he just disappeared one day, you know?
I don't know, man.
Went back to Honduras.
I guess.
It's not so good over there.
Yeah. Okay, final question of the night. This week, Yosuke Matsuda, president of Square Enix, said that Square Enix will continue to pursue... will continue to pursue the games as a model service for the future games, despite Marvel's Avengers being a disappointment. He also implied that Crystal Dynamics was to blame for the game's failure due to their lack of experience with live service games. We covered that on the last episode. Since Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics aren't on the best of terms, at least that it looks like, does this lend more credence to the rumor that Square Enix is planning to sell Crystal Dynamics to Microsoft? No, it doesn't. The two don't relate to each other. They have no correlation whatsoever. And again, it's just a rumor, you know. And I think it's just based off of fanboys. It's not. I don't think it's based off.
They just concrete. Cut them off like they did with IO. They don't give a shit if you're not producing. They'll just cut you.
Here's what I don't get. Did anybody else feel like Marvel Avengers had that very distinct garbage flavor associated with Square? Like, Square makes some good games, and you can tell when they make a good game. When they make a bad game, you're like, this kind of feels like Square trash.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
It feels like Square Enix saying, we need one of those games. Make this one into one of those games.
Yeah, but
it's still definitely has Square Enix fingerprints on that.
Perfectly willing to throw their developers.
Okay, I got to go back because I'm curious. What is quote-unquote Square Enix trash? I've never even thought about this.
It's a particular... Whenever a Square Enix game isn't good, it's always not good in the same kind of ways.
We need examples here, bro.
It feels wooden. It feels poorly thought out. The mechanics don't seem fluid at all.
You don't like Hitman? What are you talking about? What's going on?
Are you talking about like that?
What are you talking about? Which one?
Like Brett, okay, because again, I'm trying to understand this.
Like
so,
Dirge of Cerberus.
I was gonna say that new Final Fantasy game that's coming out, the stupid one, the emo one. Like,
yeah, it's, but it's, I would their B team just kind of has some characteristic shit that just seem like their B team, like the worlds never seem fleshed out. They always definitely seem like a very static backdrop.
But
I'm just saying, I don't think Crystal Dynamics was entirely to blame on this. I saw some of Squaresoft's typical shortcomings.
Yeah. I mean, again, they forced that model on. That's what I believe, at least. I think they were like, you got to make a games as a service game, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is that when they make these demands, they're not willing to also admit that they're the issue on top of it, essentially forcing someone forcing people to do things that they don't usually doing. When is the last time that fucking Crystal Dynamics has ever done a games of service of games?
Yeah, never. That's not their forte.
Never. That is not their forte.
Now they got blamed for it.
So. Yeah, and they and just as Square Enix does, because you know they make the demand, but they don't want to. You know, they don't
take responsibility.
You know, they don't want to take the responsibility for it. Oh, it's like, oh well, they didn't know how to do it. It's like, well, yeah, you got rocket scientists. They make single player games. They don't make fucking multiplayer games.
Service games. Square Enix is so weird when it comes to their Western studios because, like, remember
they'll throw those motherfuckers under the bus when the games don't do well. Remember Tomb Raider?
No, but that's the thing, when they don't do well in their estimation, because the first Tomb Raider game, I'm still, my mind is blown by this. It's the same thing with Hitman. Those games sold, I am not exaggerating numbers, 5 million in the first month. Oh, they're failures. What? How much did you expect them to make? You know, I
mean, how much did he expect to make their games to make? I don't think they have exorbitant numbers like that attached to their fucking titles.
The instant any Sony game sells a million, they're like, oh shit, a million, let's go. You know, 5 million. Oh, the game didn't do that well. By the way, the game ended up selling 8 million by the end of its life. Same thing with him, and him, it did great, you know. So, yeah, Square Enix is weird when it comes to their Western developers, you know.
Nah, yeah, just, and they still let IO take that IP. They didn't give a shit.
Yeah, they didn't give a fuck. Like, nah, okay, you know.
We're not going to pretend that Square Enix doesn't make bad games every once in a while, are we?
No, we're not.
It sounds like we're
No, we're not. But the thing is, like, I don't think their bad games are like
EA. I wouldn't put them up there with EA, which is like they'll spit out hot trash every other month. I don't care.
No, EA is awful. Nobody's debating that, Adam.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what that Marvel's Avengers game feels like. It feels like an attempt at making a fucking EA game.
Yeah, that feels like an EA game more than anything. Yeah.
It's not a garbage Square Enix game. It's a garbage EA game that they attempted to make.
I'm gonna say something that's gonna upset Adam.
Ubisoft.
I said it.
I'm not soft. Ubisoft. I got the pill, man.
That shit's blue.
I mean, it's, you know, it's like, hey, look, let's make Brokepoint with you. Let's make Brokepoint with the Avengers.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this much, but with the Brokepoint, they keep trying to fix it. They keep adding shit. It's not making me happy, but it's making some motherfuckers happy. And they're still paying the developers to work on it. They didn't give up, and they fix it. They saw a lot of issues. It wasn't the same type of issues as Avengers. It had its own separate issues. They fixed it. The problem is that sometimes it's a little bit too late.
Hold on a second. I just realized something.
Oh.
What the fuck is Final Fantasy Online if not a games as a service?
It is a games as a service,
yeah.
So when you're like, oh yeah, they haven't done games as a service before.
No, Crystal Dynamics.
They blame the studio for the game's shortcomings.
Well, and I guess that's where I'm going. Like, yeah, you're totally throwing them under the bus, Square. Like, you've never made a failure of a game before.
Yeah, they literally made a failure of a game and did a redo on it. That's what Realm Reborn.
They're Realm Reborn, exactly. Yeah, but they're blaming Crystal Dynamics for something they imposed on them.
Okay, so let me get this straight. You're the parent company that's made online games as a service before, delegating a task to a company that hasn't. And then you're upset when they don't deliver. That sounds like more of a supervision problem to me, bro.
Hmm. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I was like, do you blame a kid for being the asshole, or do you blame the mom?
Oh, you blame the dad, too,
or the grandparents.
Yeah. By the way, one subset, don't say that around him, Manny. Don't say that around him, man. He goes, Avengers is this generation's version of the bouncer. You can't say that around you, man.
I mean, I fully admit that the bouncer, but to be honest, it is not this generation's edition of the bouncer, because the bouncer wasn't anything like that.
Yeah.
It's
this generation's version of fucking Too Human, you know?
Yeah, that's not fair. Some people liked the bouncer.
Yeah.
Oh. No, here's the thing. I don't care if anybody says anything about the bouncer, because I'm fully aware
that's that right.
The
that's game fucking
was
right.
Not
man.
A good game, but I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But they said people actually did like the bouncer, unlike Avengers, you know?
So what games as a service also came out recently? Besides the Avengers. I'm trying to think any of the newer ones.
Some newer ones. I mean, that New World one, you know, you can consider that one of the games as a service, you know? And look how that happened. Everybody dropped the fuck off after like a week, you know?
D- Did they?
Remember we talked about it on the last show. It was like, oh no, you weren't here. You were watching it. Sorry, Brett. My condolences. Yeah. You were watching Eternals.
I was wasting my time.
Yeah. By the way, Subset, we're just playing around. No. The player base of New World dropped off by like 500,000. Not even exactly.
Oh, that's not going to be expected, though. That happens with every MMO. Yeah. Every time an MMO releases, everybody looks at the very normal shit that happens and acts like it's news. Like, what? There's a queue to get in the servers? Oh, my God. Why don't they do something about it? And everybody's like, well, because in a month when half the player base drops off, then you'll be able to get in. And then a month later, they're like, oh, my God, half the player base dropped off. Yeah.
I mean, it's like they would every game, right?
Yeah.
Think about it. Everybody jumps in because it's hot, and then next week or next month, there's another hot game, and then people move on.
Yeah, well, every healthy MMO goes through that. That's honestly why I feel like, you know, MMOs, while they are games as a service, they shouldn't necessarily be thrown in there with some of the other ones, because there's a huge difference between, like, I don't know, Final Fantasy Realm Reborn and fucking Destiny. Yes, you do quests for different colored gear. That's about that's about the sameness of it right there.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't think games as a service on video games fucking works. I think Fortnite is the only time it ever really, really worked. And that's about it.
But even then, the games of a service is not like to upgrade your shit. You know, all it is just aesthetics. You're just buying the Deadpool. You know, you get the Deadpool skin. The Deadpool skin is always going to be the Deadpool skin. It doesn't matter what. It doesn't give you any sort of additional boosts or anything like that. I feel like with the Avengers, the idea of the Avengers, it's like, okay, we're trying to do games of service with a thing.
They try to make Destiny, you know?
They try to make Destiny with the Avengers when it really, you know, games of service doesn't really work with the world of Marvel. Marvel is known for, you know, Destiny has a story, but that's, nobody gives a shit about the story of Destiny. Can you tell me what the fuck happens in that game? Because I don't know.
Peter Dinklage is there, you know.
Yeah, Peter
Dinklage was there.
And then Nolan North came in.
Yeah,
that's all we know. The thing about it is like when we're trying to, here's the thing. Like, I could understand doing an Avengers game where you have multiplayer, where you have all your different people taking on different versions of taking on the Avengers that you're not normally playing. I think understand that realm. But at the same time, it's like they coupled it with garbage gameplay that comes with those sorts of games of service games where you're just smacking slimes all the time.
People like playing the Hulk and Captain America, but they like playing their own characters better. DC Universe, it's still out. It still has a subscription going on. It's still making money.
Yeah,
I mean, don't get me wrong, that game was fun, but fuck, it's like a decade old.
I mean, it's still it's still running because I think the thing about it is that you're not married to an actual character. The people that are playing DC Online aren't playing a thousand Supermen.
You can play the classics, but you don't, and like you can tell based on player engagement what people would rather do.
Yeah, I think the thing about it is like, yeah, you could, like, in other words, you can't, like, I think the one thing that sort of locks the whole games of service thing is your own agency as a player. Once you go down that line of games of service, and then you realize, oh, wait, you can't do anything with Captain America other than make Captain America, then you sort of block yourself, and it goes against the character. So you have two different things working at the same time. So it's either make a superhero game that doesn't have any direct, you know, has the superheroes in it, but you don't actually play it and you have your own agency as a person, you know, or you make a story sort of driven game, which is locks you into the plot of the character.
You know, what's funny is like they even tried to do with Marvel's Avengers. They Elastic Girl or whatever her name is.
Miss Marvel. Yeah.
Name is Marvel. Basically, she was there to play the part of the wide-eyed brand new superhero that you would have. The character you made should go in there. And it's so simple.
Yeah, see that's the thing. Like if it was a different situation and the wide-eyed superhero is your own created superhero, a totally new character, and you are being introduced to that world through your character's eyes, I feel like it's a little bit of a different story than just having Kamala be there, which a lot of people say that she was actually done very well in that game, but at the same time,
she was,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, she was.
But I feel
but not
like,
everyone wanted to play Kamala, and I think that was a big, well, that and the terribly dull gameplay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they made you play some other Avengers too, but yeah, it's a game which is boring.
Well, yeah, yeah. Again, like, there's just a way to do Marvel games, and I feel like that the doing that sort of games of service realm doesn't seem to mesh well, unless you could somehow, through the sake of do essentially license every single existing Avenger in that game. Like, in other words, you're not locked into even Hulk, Captain America, and all those guys. You literally have a whole list of those characters that you could play with, kind of like Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Even then, I don't think it matters. Like, I just don't think you care as much. Like, I'm trying to sit here and think of the games as a service, and I don't really play that many, except for, like, obviously I play Fallout. And, like, that motherfucker, you get to make your own character. You know what I did this last weekend? I fucking played, like, 8 hours of Fallout to get a pirate hat. Why? Because I wanted the motherfucking pirate hat, and it just wouldn't drop. And would I care about getting Ant-Man a pirate hat? Nah, not really. Would I care about getting my chick, my tank girl character, a pirate hat? Fuck yeah! So like, I don't know, man. The idea of the way that they structure these things and the walls that they put up, I don't think they actually know what makes games as a service work when it does work. I feel like they're just, you know, throwing blindly against the wall and seeing what shit sticks.
Exactly. That's exactly it's an expensive way of doing it, but yeah, that's what they were doing with Marvel's Avengers. So they were really trying to do that.
Yeah, Manny, what have you been fiddling with this entire time?
Oh no, I just looking for something.
Yeah, because like the entire podcast, you've been looking like, you know, whatever is behind the monitor. I'm very curious.
Oh no, just a bunch of my figures fell over.
Oh,
just. You know, the little items that they have fell over. So I was just looking for it.
That was me up
there. Yeah, that's Adam's life right there.
I was moving.
Well, I mean, because it's a fucking domino rally, man. Like, you have stood up, and sometimes, you know, whatever happens, somebody bumps the desk, and then boom, they all go flying
over. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
doors and the whole room shaking.
That's pretty much it. We're done, people. Good stuff. All right. Plugging time. What do we have? Manny, what you got?
Well, I mean, Nubia and the Amazons number 2 is coming out this month. Still working on excellence, as always. I also did the 7 hours of the 24-hour stream with Dave Wonder.
Crazy.
I did the early hours when he's probably gonna lose his mind, and so I kind of helped him out, and I stayed pretty fresh all the way up till 10, I would say. And then I head out. So, but yeah, it was good stuff. We talked about games, talked about figures and all that, and he raised over $4,000.
Nice.
So
this is for Extra Life, was it?
For Extra Life.
Nice,
yeah.
Nice, so good stuff.
It's a good thing. All I have to say is that shit is brutal, man. Like 24 hours. Like even me doing 7 was like, yeah, that's okay. But man, I couldn't talk for that long. It was literally the longest talk show ever.
Oh man. That's crazy. Yeah,
that reminds me of an old episode of WrestleCast.
All those episodes were like that. You know,
long, man.
You did some Extra Life streaming there?
You should have.
That was preparation, right?
That would have worked.
Yeah, Adam, what you got, bro?
What do we got? I've got another episode of I Am Negan, a TWD Universe podcast. We have for Fear the Walking Dead, season 7, episode 3. Breathe with me. That's every time I say it, I have to say it that way. It's like, man, I miss Pete Steele. So,
I thought you were going to say, breathe with me. I thought
number one.
Yeah,
man, I thought you were going to say, when you said breathe with me, I was thinking, breathe with me.
Oh, you're thinking Prodigy and Maxim and stuff. Yeah. So it was good. It's a good episode. So we cover that. So you can check that out over on Spotify and iTunes and all the other good stuff. And, a lot of stuff going to be over at the Coalition. We got a lot of reviews and a lot of other things going on there, so check that out.
Good stuff. Carlos, do we have anything? I think it's next week, right? We got Shang-Chi or something?
Yeah, next week we'll be reviewing Shang-Chi since it's going to be releasing on VOD or at least Disney Plus.
Yeah, Disney Plus.
And it's going to release there on, I think, Friday, so we should be recording the podcast maybe Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
Is the Matrix also coming to VOD this month? Or is that next month?
I think it's December, if I'm not mistaken. But it is HBO Max. I think it's
If it's VOD, I'll probably watch that. So even though I think it's going to be terrible, you know?
Terrible.
Mighty Nerd. Keith David was Captain Anderson in Mass Effect. Yes, but that came up mainly because they were commenting on Goliath. You know, that's hard to start a conversation on Keith.
The spell is broken,
and we live again.
That new Bill and Ted was pretty good. That was a day one release, also on VOD. That was pretty good.
What sorcery is this?
December 22nd for The Matrix.
Damn.
Yeah, that's a Christmas movie.
That's a Christmas movie, yeah. Neo's Christmas getting his movie. Gifts, man.
Side note, Goliath comes with a jalapeno.
Oh, nice. jalapeno. Oh, man. What? Mighty Nerd, you need to play some Mass Effect. Get some Mass Effect, and you're like, check out the Legendary Edition, man. It's good stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, people, we are done.
I'm sure that'll be on sale during...
you already know. I think it's already on sale, to be honest.
It was.
Yeah, $32 or something.
Good shit, man. All right, man. Follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter and join the Discord where it is always popping. Make sure you follow Throwdown on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show, two words, Throwdown Show. And you can visit throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. If you're watching us on YouTube and you enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of all our upcoming videos, man, when they go live. And that's it. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Adam Vail.
Yeah, that's it.
Have a good week, and Call of Duty Vanguard campaign is dark as fuck.
Yeah, and Call of Duty Vanguard is actually out. People forgot about that. Even big journalists were like, what?
I saw you in Paris talking fake news. I was like,
yeah, no, even dudes like Jeff Grubb was like, oh shit, there's a new Call of Duty. Like, everybody forgot. It's hilarious.
Yo, man, Ubisoft.
You know?
That's a fucking story. Dark.
All right, and of course,
for kids.
Yeah, not for kids. All right, and of course, we got Brett Murdoch.
Peace out.
Right, people, see, Adam's happy. He's like, Vanguard's out. People in the chat didn't even know. Oh, man.
They know.
All right, people. See you on Thursday. Peace out.